we've all been part of this system, and the things we can be proud of are the things that we're not, shouldn't be proud of. But we can't forget history. The history is so important. If we forget that system and the way people were treated, we're going to start doing it again. That's my huge worry. If it's not clear why the system was developed as it was and people's experience was, I think that's really dangerous. We've got to learn from our mistakes and the way things were done in the past. I'm not personally not proud of a lot of the history and some of the stuff that went on here, but I'm proud that I've worked here and tried in a sort of modest way to make it better for people. There's a lot of good people that have worked here in horrendous conditions trying to make things better for people. And it'd be sad if that wasn't recognised, really, because there are so many really good people that have been working here. And against huge odds, really, and against huge negative attitudes and cultural boundaries, as people have carried on and carried on. That's to their credit, really, that there's still a lot of people still here doing their best for people, because it's so easy to write people off in the hospital, and I think a lot of people did. There was a resettlement process. The plan was to close Bryn and Air, resettle people back to their original areas of origin. Whilst Scriven put a moratorium on that, stopped that. I can't remember the exact reasons. It was a financial decision or a political, I don't know. They stopped that, and I think our management team at the time were very keen to make sure that we made efforts to ensure that people's rights were maintained while they still had to live in hospital, which was, at the time, it was to their credit, really. So they liaised with Bangor University, and a researcher called Paul Ramshuran came to and to take a project in Bryn Eyth, looking at all aspects of life, I suppose, daily life within Bryn Eyth, especially sort of looking at cultural aspects and trying to discuss quite difficult subjects like the notion of abuse and potential abuse, or the cusp of abuse, which was the phrase that came out in the report, and getting us really to look at what we did every day with people, for people, and trying to put it within the context of the human rights agenda. So at the time it was quite innovative, I think, and it was very positive in a lot of ways. You know, there was a realisation a lot of the things that people were doing went supportive of people's rights and promoting their rights, but I think it did prick a lot of consciences of them, if I'm honest. It was very positive in a lot of ways. You know, there was a realisation a lot of the things that people were doing went supportive of people's rights and promoting their rights, but I think it did prick a lot of consciences of them, if I'm honest.
So it wasn't sort of a judgmental process?
No, it was managed really well, really, I think. I think initially, there were, as in any large workforce, you have your sceptics and your cynics around the value of it, but I think I was pretty impressed that I think the majority of people, certainly I spoke to, understood why it was happening and engaged well in the process, really.
So what changed as a result?
It's very difficult to pinpoint sort of tangible outcomes, because I think the main thing was that there's a cultural thing, an attitudinal thing that changed. I think people were a lot more aware of rights as an issue, which was a huge step forward, I think, because I don't think we ever discussed rights and, you know, people as human beings. It was just back to this block treatment thing, you know, the old traditional hospital approach. When I first started, there was, in the bathrooms, there were two baths in the same room, separated by a shower curtain. Some sort of, vain attempt to sort of protect people's dignity. But at the time, I think people were doing their best, and, you know, people coming into services working and thought that was normal, I think. I've always got the feeling, I know it's true, since working in Bryn Eyth, the people that were working here, the vast majority, well-meaning, good, caring people, always doing their best and trying to make modest attempts to make Bryn Eyth and the villa areas more homely and individualised.
So the shower curtain presumably hadn't been there?
No.
Always.
No, and there was bath taps as well, so if people couldn't run their own bath, the staff, only the staff that had access to bath taps, which was a sort of brass tap that you had to go and physically switch on the bath, so people couldn't just go into a bath.
What was the thinking behind that?
I don't know if it was safety or control, I don't know. Probably a combination of both. I just found that quite strange when I first started working here, that people couldn't run a bath themselves, but obviously there have been issues in other areas. Also, the thing I noticed was toilet doors had the locks on the outside in some areas, which is a bit strange. When I first started, and toothbrushes, I think, it was only during the sort of late 80s I can recall that people started getting individual toothbrushes, and it was all very slow moving on.
What was your reaction when you saw that there was like one toothbrush between?
I mean, that was, you know, it was rare, but it happened. It was awful, really. We tried to get around it by just bringing our own toothbrushes in for people. And then, so again, depending on which villa you were on, some people would take themselves off to bed themselves around 9 o'clock. I would say generally everybody would be in bed by 10 on the site. Whether they wanted to or not, they were encouraged. So that was quite a big event in the sort of Bryn and Eyth calendar, really.
Local people from Clanbrand?
Yeah, it was a big, huge event. A lot of people from the whole area used to come in that day. I always had mixed feelings about it. So I just the idea of an open day in the hospital.
Why mixed feelings?
Well, I don't know. It was like a carnival atmosphere. People seemed to enjoy it. I don't know if it's just my something about me. I don't know. It just didn't feel right to me somehow.
What do you think the visitors, the public that came in, what do you think they
enjoyed? I think they enjoyed it. I think the residents certainly enjoyed it. So, I mean, it's difficult for me. I mean, that's just my personal...
Do you think it challenged the public's perceptions?
I think it was good for the people in the community to be able to come onto site and, because the community in Llanfairpwll did have a lot of contact with the site anyway. I mean, we used to have a rec hall, big hall, they used to show films, and that's so the kids in the village used to come down and watch films, and so it was quite a lot of coming and going between the village and the hospital. There were not that many, from my recollection, that had sort of regular contact with families. It seemed to be because people that had come into the system, hospital system, many, many years ago and were, you know, in their 70s, 80s and had lost all contact with families. It was only the sort of the younger people that were here, I think, that generally had good contact with families.
Do you get a sense of the families' feelings around the fact that their child or relative was living in a hospital?
Some people didn't like it, from what I recall, you know, didn't like the idea that their family, their child was here. Others, I thought they seemed grateful that they were here. They don't know any better, they're protected, they're safe. You know, that sort of attitude. So it varied. So, I mean, obviously families are different, people are different, so people are different. Some people are quite happy that they were out of the way here, I think.